In August of 1970, I was off to summer camp, where there really weren't any phones to play with. There were no payphones, just an office phone, which I pretty much could not get to. And so, my newfound telephone interest had to be put on hold.
Oh, that's so cute.
Right. Well, anyway, the one thing I could do was to sneak in there and get the local telephone directory, paying special attention to those opening pages.
Let us turn to page VIII. It is a crime under both federal and state law to use a telephone for annoying or harassing purposes.
No, not that part. The part about dialing long distance. The directory said that to call long distance, you had to dial 1 first.
No kidding.
Dialing 1 first was unheard of to me, because in Long Island, where I lived, there was no dialing 1 first. In fact, if you tried to do it, this is what would happen. The dial tone would keep right on going as if you hadn't dialed anything. Now, there was a reason why some places had to dial 1 first for long distance and others never did, and that had to do with types of switching equipment, types of circuitry in the central office that made the telephones work. But I didn't know much about that. I had scratched the surface, though, in my early observation that some phone lines did this. A burst of dial tone at the end of the digit, and other phones did this. No dial tone burst. Of course, I was curious as to which type of phone line served the camp office. All I'd have to do is ask the lady at the office to let me use the phone. But how was I going to explain what I needed to do with the phone? So I waited until the lady was out of the office to sneak a listen to this phone. How about that? An old-fashioned dial tone. Which reminded me of the dial tone I had first heard in Long Island when I first started using the phone many years ago. And so in my mind, I went back to 1965. Dialing your own number in those days always gave you a busy signal. It was obvious that the tone of the busy signal was the same as the dial tone. Then, one day in 65, my mother, of all people, told me that the phone company had changed the dial tone. She said she didn't like the new dial tone. She described it as a high-pitched, sickening sweet sound. And she even caricatured it, making a sound like this. Well, I'm sure you can guess which dial tone it was she had in mind. But this was the first time I ever heard that sound. Now, I didn't really find the telephone interesting in those days, but I did know that the dial tone and the busy signal were the same sound. So naturally, I had to dial my own number to hear the new busy signal, which I fully expected would sound like this. So what was I going to hear when I dialed my own number? What the? Wait a minute. They changed the dial tone, right? Okay, so that means the old dial tone is gone, disconnected, kaput. I'll never hear it again, and that means the busy signal is... The old dial tone was still there, on the busy signal, even though I couldn't get it picking up the phone anymore. And that was creepy. That old, defunct dial tone, gone since 1965, had nonetheless been able to haunt me by still being on the busy signal every time I'd gotten one in the past 5 years. But here, in 1970 at camp, was a real, live, old-fashioned dial tone. And I had a mission. I wanted to find out whether that dial tone burst at the end of the digit was there, because that would tell me what type of phone line this was. Aha! I thought, this phone is just like the ones in Long Island that I like, except it has an old dial tone. And I couldn't have been more wrong, because this phone line in rural Pennsylvania was nothing like any of the phone lines in Long Island. But before I could find that out, I heard those dreaded words, "What are you doing with the phone, dear?" Well, I'm curious about the dial tone, which is old-fashioned, and I was checking the, oh boy. This new hobby was starting to put me in awkward situations. Unlike present times, where being interested in networks is instantly recognized as, oh, you're a computer geek, the 1970s had no such pigeonhole for me to fit into. Thus, I did seem pretty weird to be interested in the telephone. And maybe I was, because as I lay on my bunk bed, I was pondering the meaning of dialing numbers beginning with a 1. This idea felt to me like a whole new door opening up, and at first I couldn't see why. I did know that phone numbers and area codes in the US and Canada never began with a 1 or a 0, and that in New York, dialing a 1 would do absolutely nothing, and dialing a 0 would put a call through the operator. But then it hit me that there was something really important that I'd never tried. I had never tried picking up my phone in Long Island, dialing a foreign area code like maybe 213 for Los Angeles, and then dialing a 1. Suddenly I saw that I'd missed something quite obvious. There were 200 possible phone number prefixes in the range 000 through 199 that I had never tried dialing. Of course, you couldn't dial them at the dial tone because the 1 would be ignored or the 0 would go to the operator. But after an area code, like 213, that had never been tried. And I thought about the possibility of there being special phone numbers, maybe for phone company use, beginning with 1 and 0. I got so excited about this idea that I even took a notebook and wrote down a list of all the codes that I wanted to try once I got home back to Long Island. But being at camp, for now I would just have to wait. So I made my list, waiting to fill in the results once I got home to try it. It wasn't too long after that that my parents did arrive to take me back to Long Island.
Before you leave camp, why don't you short sheet their bunk beds?
Nah, I've got a better idea. On the way home from camp, I'll stop at the first payphone where I get the chance and see what happens when I dial a 1. And so I was ready for what turned out to be the first of many so-called phone trips, going up to a payphone for no purpose at all other than to check out the local telephone system. My first opportunity came in a place called Oxford, New Jersey, in western New Jersey, near the Delaware Water Gap. I do recall that in that part of the world, all the restaurants were serving a beverage called birch beer, which was a local variation on root beer. But hey, who's got time for the local cuisine? Let's get to the phone. Another old-fashioned dial tone, and this one sounded different from the camp office. Let's see what happens when I dial a 1 from this payphone.
I'm sorry. The number you have reached is changed or not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. This is a recording. 1-2. I'm sorry.
It was a recording, but recordings were interesting to me at this time, and this one had a funny text, the number you have reached is changed or not in service, and a mysterious numerical ID, 1-2. I couldn't help but wonder what that meant. Turns out that it was simply that this was a little independent company that didn't follow Bell System practices, and therefore it had its own way of doing recordings. Not a big deal, but at the time this whole thing was kind of mysterious and fascinating. Had I been a more experienced phone tripper, I would have been delighted to find out that as I dialed around to each of the towns that surround Belvedere, New Jersey, one of which is in Pennsylvania, I would get a different recording with its own numeric ID, 1-2 for this town, 1-4 for that town, 1-5 for another, and so on. But I wasn't to find that out for quite some time, and arriving home later that day, I just had to try those funny codes from 000 through 199, dialed after an area code. I also wanted to try dialing my own area code, 516, and then one of those codes. So I got out my list. Let's try 516 plus 111, 1111, and see what happens. To my surprise, it rang. And rang and rang.
Dialing them incorrectly, hang up and try again.
What kind of a recording was that? Let me try another one. 213-123-4567.
Dialing them incorrectly, hang up and try again.
Funny recording. It's real short. doesn't sound the same each time. Let me try another one. 215-100-1111.
Donovan, I'm incorrectly. Hang up and try again.
Aha! So that wasn't a recording after all. It was an operator. And you could even hear another operator in the background. Now, the other operator, when she answered, would actually ask you what number you were calling.
Reaching a special intercept. What number did you call, please?
It turned out she was there to catch people who didn't know the difference between the letters O and I and the digits 1 and 0. For example, if you told her you were calling a number in the OX7 exchange, she'd tell you to dial the O by the 6. Don't dial the operator O for Oxford 7. Same thing with the letter I. Be sure to dial the I by the 4. Don't dial a 1. And that is what my long list of prefixes came to. These operators were handling them all in all area codes. And so I thought my question about 1 and 0 codes had been answered. However, it turns out I had asked the right question and gotten the wrong answer, because this special intercept setup was the phone company's way of making sure I didn't stumble into their little secret, that when we're talking about codes beginning with 1 and 0...
That's privileged information.
You're freaking right about that, darling, but that wasn't for me to know yet. Meanwhile, some other privileged information did come my way by word of mouth. Just a local phone number, Franklin 4, 9979. Obviously, this was some sort of a phone company test circuit. And I was impressed. I don't know why. But in those days, anything the phone could do that was outside of the normal repertoire tended to impress me. So I was looking for other cool numbers to dial, and I tried dialing 9979 in various prefixes around Long Island and New York City. I found that many of these test circuits sounded like Franklin 4 with slight differences, and then there were a few standouts. For example, 997-9979 in Westbury, Long Island, had kind of a sickly sound to it. Then there was 449-9979 in Brooklyn, which sounded more like a siren. .351-9979 in Newdorp, Staten Island, had a very low volume and was a little weird. .239 is a prefix in Long Island that serves the five towns right next to the Rockaway part of Queens. 9979 there always gave me this operator. I'd never talked to her. And then she'd put on this funny recording.
What happened? I'm going to be calling. Hello?
Please repeat the number you are calling to the special operator.
The other thing I found was that 9979 was unassigned in a lot of prefixes, and that brought me to a recording that I had never gotten before.
I'm sorry. The number you have reached is not in service or temporarily disconnected. The number you have reached is not in service at this time. This is a recording.
That was the first time I ever heard or recorded that particular recording, but certainly not the last. The voice was very familiar. It was the same voice as the recording that I got on 311, both from Neil's house, where it was a party line.
I'm sorry. We are unable to complete your call as dialed.
And mine, where it was not a party line.
I'm sorry. We are unable to complete your call as dialed.
And in the back of my mind, I knew something was just not right about that. How could the same recording be a party line in one place and not in another? But I left that mystery unsolved and kept on going out to my nearby payphone to play with the party lines. One day, giving my number out on 660 to talk to girls, I made a discovery which was unpleasant but interesting. Payphones in my hometown were like Neil's home phone, rather than mine. They could call the good 311 and 660, and they also had a nice feature. You could leave them off the hook when you were anticipating an incoming call, and the call would plop right in. The girl who's about to call, however, I don't think is the same one I just gave my number to on 660.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Bob. Who's this?
You're Bob?
That's right.
Whatever happened to Steven?
When was there a Steven here?
I don't know, but I was just talking to him.
Not at this number.
Yes, at this number.
I don't think so.
You can tell him to go himself if you know him.
Actually, she was mistaken. I'd been the only one using the phone, and I'd only been going by the name Bob, so I'm not sure who she was looking for. But, heck, she was gone, so I put in another dime to call back to 660. But there was no dial tone. And at that point I realized she had not really hung up, only pretended to. And my dime was in limbo. The reason was that it was impossible for the phone to return my dime as long as there was an incoming call on the line. What it took was for me to get a new dial tone and make a new call. But I could only do that after she had hung up and she was holding my line up. I tried hanging up on her. And amazingly, she was able to stay on my line for up to 3 minutes at a time. Even when I did manage to disconnect her by hanging up for a very long time, she would simply call back in before I'd had a chance to get a dial tone, so she'd hold me up again. I ended up having to walk away, leaving my dime in the phone, at best to be used by the next person, at worst to simply be collected along with the next customer's dime when he completed his call after putting his dime in. Not a happy experience, but it gave me an idea. This could be a very good prank. And being a teenager, a good prank seemed like a good thing. It took some research to figure out how to do this. The first thing we had to find out was how was it that she was able to hold me up for so long? After all, I had tried staying on the line after calling someone from my house, and I'd always get cut off after 20 seconds. But wouldn't you know it? Neil's phone was once again better than mine in a particular way. From Neil's house, I could make a local call and hold someone up after they'd hung up on me for 2.5 to 5 minutes. Damn, I needed a phone like his. But in the meantime, we were just going to have to do this prank from his house instead of mine. Now, calling into 311 and 660, we would often hear numbers being shouted out, and some of them were obviously payphones. The way we knew that was that in prefixes that had payphones, the last 4 digits tended to be in the 9000 group.
The number from which you are dialing is Boswick 99650. You say you've lost your dime. May I safely assume that this is a pay station?
Well, with 9650 the last 4 digits, it is a pay station probably, assuming Boswick 9 has coin phones at all. And so those were the numbers we were listening for. We'd go on to 311 or 660, listen for such a number, and then if it was a guy, we'd call him, pretending to be a girl. We did this prank several times from 1970 through 74. We only recorded doing it the last time, so what follows is from 1974, but it gives an idea of basically how the prank went. In this particular case, we had to call the guy back a few times.
Hello?
This is Eileen again. My father keeps hanging up the phone.
Who, your father?
Yeah.
Huh?
Just what? I am not on that Tawny line. I am not.
We've now pretended to hang up. and now our victim has hung up. But he'll be off hook again in a second, trying to make a new call. By the way, we never did this to ordinary people trying to use payphones. Just kids who were shouting their numbers out on 311 or 660. He's off hook, and... Gotcha. That was the sound of the dime going in. And now, this guy's going to get a very strange experience talking to a very strange organization called the Dime Holders of America.
Hello there. I present the Dime Holders of America. We are holding our dime and are not going to get it back.
This guy was a lot smarter than we gave him credit for at the time because he did not try the coin release lever. And most of the kids we did this to at this point would be desperately jingling the thing up and down trying to get the dime to return, which of course doesn't work because the coin release lever is designed to get stuck coins out of the slot. It won't work in this condition. The touch tones are a giveaway that this isn't a 1970 recording. Actually, in September 1970, most Long Island payphones were single slot rotary dial.
Yeah. I wish we could give him a line time.
Huh?
I'm David Glass, your representative of the Dime Holders of America. Now, we have your 10 cents and you're not going to get it back.
When?
When? Never.
Never?
Never.
Why?
Why? That's our business. This is how we make our money.
I need that dime.
You need that dime?
Yeah.
How do you think businesses are formed? By dimes. Look at the phone company. They're made of dimes. So are we.
We're going to give it back.
We're never going to give it back.
I don't get my dime. This is yours.
I'll get mine. I've gotten mine last night. That's all I need. Once a week for me, you know. Once we get over 40, we don't need much of it. Ta-ha!
Hello, Sean. This is Mr. Alexander Milligan, the head representative for Rockville Center, Oceanside, Limbrook District.
Yeah?
Now, I hear you have a complaint that you've had your dime taken. Is this true?
Yeah.
You're not going to get your 10 cents back because you gave it to us. And don't be an Indian giver. Since you put it in the slot, that's our slot.
It is not.
It is too. Don't argue with me, Shun. I'm old enough to be your grandfather.
I'm old enough to be yours.
You're old enough to be my grandfather. I doubt it, Shun. You sound like a young whippersnapper.
Young whippersnapper?
A young whippersnapper. He whips his snap all the time. My grandfather's been dead for years. We stole his dime from the grave.
He probably wears combat boots.
My father wears combat boots.
Yeah.
We must have gotten this guy before. Someone else has said that to me before. I know he did. Have we ever gotten you before, Sean?
No, son.
Do you know my mother wears combat boots also, and she's the best career officer the Army has ever seen? A real rough mother.
Hold on,
Sean.
I'm a switchman, and I'm gonna come over there and...
Pull your ears out.
You can't blow my ears out. I have nothing in between them.
You sick?
I'm perfectly fine. Very good, in fact.
I work for the phone company.
You work for the phone company?
Yeah.
So do I. Can't you tell?
Yeah, can't you tell I work for it?
Yes, I can tell. You have the correct mentality.
Now listen, Sean, what are you trying to do?
Huh?
What are you trying to do? Blow my ears out?
Yeah.
We have special phones, Shannon. We can duplicate anything you can give us.
Yeah?
Yes. And we can do a lot more things than you can. We happen to have one of the famous touchstone musicians here, Mr. E.M. Root. Mr. Root, will you play him one of your fantastic...
You
hear
why? Hello?
Oh my. Well, I guess all teenagers are a little bit obnoxious, and we were no exception. In any event, that's pretty much the way it would go. Though in all honesty, I still think this is funny. I also think that it's way too mean to do. I'm not exactly proud of it, but hey, it's done and it's on tape, so here it is.
Mr. Bell, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company.
Yeah?
It is my duty to discuss with you some of the abuses of your instrument.
Go on.
Today, I was robbed of my dime in a payphone. I want it back.
We never got the dimes. I mean, theoretically, if we'd been able to run out to the phone at just the right time when the person had given up, we might have been able to actually retrieve their dime, but we never did. It was just a prank. And what happened was they either got their dime back or the next person ended up just collecting it when they made their call, just as the girl who held my dime up never actually got it. So anyway, Neil and I were off to a bad start, but hey, what did we know at that age? We did know, however, that there was something about the kind of phone line that Neil had that was very desirable. It got the party lines and it could hold local calls up for 3 or more minutes. So the fact that all phones were not created equal was really driven home. Well, I was to learn a lot more about different types of phone lines in my September 1970 trip to Atlanta to visit my family. This was the first trip to Atlanta after I became aware that there was something to check out on the phones. And it ended up being pretty eye-opening, though it actually left me with more mysteries rather than fewer, and deepened my interest in this whole thing. That's in the next segment. Edited recordings from 1974 have been used here to depict 1970 events. The busy signal impulse rate has been fudged in places to avoid rhythmic disharmony with background music. Oxford, New Jersey recordings are accurate, though the dial tone was recorded later. The camp dial tone is actually Bogart Statham, Georgia, as a stand-in for the original Pennsylvania office, but they were virtually identical dial tones.